Ronald, good morning and welcome to WSBA. Nice to have you here.
Great. Good morning.
You know, nothing like having a discussion about nothing less than the end times. It's obviously dramatic things, and the discussion comes up more and more among many people, I find, especially considering world events. You lay all this out in your book, 2008, God's Final Witness. Why 2008?
Because that's the time that has been given as the end of a period of time, 6,000 years that God gave mankind for ruling himself, self-government, and so forth. And it's just that it's come to that point in time, this is the end, and we're going to enter a period of 3.5 years of what's called the Great Tribulation. And the beginning of that is what's going to happen first and primarily, really, right here in the United States, also Great Britain, Canada, and so forth.
I just wonder why you know it's specifically 2008. Many have predicted over time these are the end times. No, now is the end times. No, it'll be this year. No, it'll be that year. How can you be so certain of that?
Well, this is difficult for some people, maybe a lot of people, but the reality is that God, before anything ever happens on the earth, God has always sent prophets to tell people what's going to take place.
Mm-hmm.
And the very reality of what's taken place in the past, there have been a lot of natural calamities, catastrophes in the world, you know, through time, and wars, world wars, and religious leaders have gotten on a bandwagon and said it's the end time because so much in the Bible has been written about the end time. It's just that this time, God has sent a prophet. I am a prophet, and this is what's coming, and it's been given by God that this is the time it's going to begin here for the United States.
When you say that you are a prophet, how do you know this? How clear has that message been made to you?
It's very clear. Some people have...
I mean, I think we're all curious to know, how do you know?
And that's difficult to explain because, unless you've experienced it, it's a situation where a lot of people think that, angels come down, different things happen. God has sent different messengers at times to speak to some of old, but most of the prophets, God just spoke to them through the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit. God has made us different from the animal kingdom in the sense that we have a spirit essence in our being, in our mind, that gives us the ability to think and reason. No one else, nothing else can, just mankind. And that's something that God placed in man. It's not the Holy Spirit, but it's a spirit essence that gives us the ability to think and reason, remember, and so forth. It is what we are, and it records everything that we are. And God communicates with that by his Holy Spirit when he has a purpose, when he has a design, and it's in the mind. It just comes in the mind. It's a matter of the mind. It's something that God reveals through his Scripture. It comes alive. That's happened to all the prophets.
Spirit witnesses the Spirit. What has the Spirit witness to your spirit? What is it that you are to tell people?
Well, primarily the book is really focused toward the three major religions of the world that have descended actually from Abraham, Islam, traditional Christianity, and Judaism. And God is getting ready to correct much of what has been done wrong in the world through the religions of the world. We're coming to a point in time where we're entering a tremendous clash of religions right now. What's happening in the Middle East has more to do with the clash of religion than anything else. Look at the Middle East. Look at Israel, the nation of Israel, Judaism. They're hated over there.
It's all about the clash of religions, right?
Yes, and they don't get along with Islam. There's a tremendous clash taking place here of things that are happening that people don't believe. Everybody has a certain belief that they grew up with, and these are coming to a time of a clash right now. And God said that this would happen at the end time. And these are the very things that are at the root, the heart, and the core, just like Islam right now. People are looking a little, you know, from Muqtada al-Sadr over in Iraq. He has what is called Mahdi's army. Mahdi is actually a prophecy in Islam that has to do with a leader that's going to rise up and lead Islam into control, into rulership of the whole world. Judaism has a similar belief about things that are going to take place. Actually, when Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem, they thought he was coming in at that time to be a king because of the prophecies in the Old Testament. They really thought he was coming in to take away the Roman rulership over them and to establish Judah once more as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't happen. And that's why so many became disgruntled and went their way after he died. The same thing is true in traditional Christianity today. There are a lot of people who believe there's going to be a rapture. There's not going to be any such thing because they think it's the end time. We are coming down to an end time, and everything is pointed in that direction. We are at that stage.
You say there's not going to be a rapture.
No. As I mentioned, God is correcting all three major religions. They're all wrong. When Jesus Christ came on the earth 2,000 years ago, he condemned every bit of Judaism. The only thing he did not condemn was what John the Baptist taught. Everyone else was condemned. Because they spoke about God, they talked about Moses, they liked to quote David, but they didn't understand. And Jesus Christ continually corrected them for what they were teaching. The same thing is true today. things about the rapture. It's not true. It's not going to happen. People aren't going to be whisked away driving down the road and all of a sudden a car like these bumper stickers have, nobody's at the wheel, you know. Those are insane things. Jesus Christ doesn't come to take a whole bunch of people away and then come back later on after it's all over with. Everyone is going to experience what's getting ready to happen worldwide.
Well, you know, there are a lot of people who would disagree with you about that.
Absolutely.
Obviously, with the popularity of the discussion of the rapture and the books that have been written about it, novelized and all that. But, I mean, Scripture does talk about that there will be a shout and a blast and the Lord will appear in an instant and the dead in Christ will rise first.
They misunderstand that. They have their ideas by what's taught in traditional Christianity. That's speaking of the end of that 3.5 years when Jesus Christ does come back, as it says in Revelation 19, as the King of Kings and establishes his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. There is a government. There is a rule coming to this earth. There's going to be one church. There's going to be one government over all the earth as it's prophesied throughout the Old Testament and through the book of Revelation. That's something that happens at the very end. There are those who are dead in Christ who are going to be resurrected at that time, who have been in the church since from the very beginning here, and they're going to be resurrected with Christ. It speaks of 144,000 who are coming back to rule with him. They're going to be kings and priests, it says. Those are the individuals that are going to be resurrected, and there are some who are alive when he returns, and that's what Thessalonians is talking about, and they're going to be resurrected at that time. But it's not to go off someplace and disappear. It's to come right down to this earth to reign on the earth.
It talks about people being caught up in with the Lord in the air, though.
Well, that's when he comes back. That's what it talks about in Revelation. When he comes back, the whole world, it says, is going to see him in the atmosphere. There's going to be a display of power, of light, that something that people are going to see. They're not going to understand what it is. And that is something that God manifests in a physical way. You can't see spirit, but he's going to manifest something physical that the whole earth can see that's going to be in our atmosphere. So as the earth rotates, everyone is going to see this display in the atmosphere. And that is the very day that Jesus Christ returns, when God puts down an end to all the wars and the fighting that are taking place. That's what Armageddon is all about. China and Russia have come together to fight against Europe, and they're doing so because they've already destroyed so much of the earth. It says that China is going to destroy 1/3 of all the earth. And so they're using nuclear weapons, and so they're not using them anymore, because that's why they come together in Armageddon in the Valley of Megiddo there, and all through Iran, Iraq, all the way down toward Israel, is because if they use any more nuclear weapons, they are concerned they're going to annihilate themselves. And you can understand what would happen to one of the losing sides. Everyone who would be on the losing side is still going to use them. And so that's when God steps in and prevents man from destroying himself. That's what he says. He's going to prevent man from annihilating himself. And that's what Armageddon is about. But it's, again, it's something that takes place at the very end.
So we're entering that period of time, the Great Tribulation, so we're just a few years really away from the return of Jesus, then, you're saying?
That's exactly right.
All right. Now, the situation that's developing now in the Middle East, is it all unfolding according to Scripture?
Yes, it is, absolutely.
I mean, every move that we're seeing now in terms of what Iran is doing, what's happened with Iraq, the growth of China, all of these things coming into play, Russia kind of restoring itself as a power.
Isn't that amazing? All of a sudden, it's fitting right back into prophecy here. At the time, people thought, you know, Russia, the things that were taking place there, that they're more of a friend. They've not been a friend. They are aligned with China. They're becoming stronger with China once again, and they are going to be a very powerful force toward the end time here. But Europe rises first. When the United States has the nuclear weapons that go off in our major cities, we're crippled. There is a study that just came out. It's in World Net Daily, titled here, America Unprepared for Likely Nuke Attack. And this is a 3-year study just completed by researchers at the Center for Mass Destruction Defense at the University of Georgia. And it's quite revealing, just in talking about what would happen if four cities. We're going to be unable to govern ourselves. We're going to be crippled economically. Well, there are going to be more cities than that are struck in a coordinated attack, just like 9/11 this time. And it's going to be devastating, and Europe is going to step in to fill the vacuum, and that's all prophesied.
You're basically saying the United States is going to cease to be a world power.
Exactly. 2008, we will not have a president in 2009.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That's not very encouraging, since this is 2007.
That's true, and that's why the book was written. You know, all these things are written because how do people know what's true, what isn't? What are they going to rely on when, look at what happened when Katrina came along. Religious leaders got on the bandwagon. They started saying, you know, God is doing this and God is doing that, and it's been the age-old thing. And they're going to do it a whole lot more here over the next year when things start happening more and more here. What are people going to listen to? There's such massive confusion out here. That's why the book, 2008, God's Final Witness, was written, so that people will know, because how could something so detailed be written in advance, telling it as it is, and it take place? They're going to know what to listen to when things begin to happen. That's exactly why it was written. And as a matter of fact, I'll put a quick plug in, if you don't mind. If people go to endtime2008.com, we send the book out free to anybody who wants it worldwide.
All right. Now, let's try to clear up some confusion about the different faiths and what they believe. You have stated that all three of the key religions that have sprung from the God of Abraham are getting it wrong: Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Is there one true faith?
Yes, there is. There has been since 31 A.D.
Is it Christianity?
No.
Why do you say that?
It is not what's considered traditional Christianity.
Meaning what? Traditional Christianity. What does that mean?
There is only... Traditional Christianity is what has sprung basically out of Protestantism from the Catholic Church. There were two churches, one in 31 A.D. that continued on, and it's gone through time. It's been a very small church, always has been, God's church. There is another church that began to spring up around 100 plus A.D., continued to get stronger until 325 A.D. They actually changed the command to keep the Passover in 1 Corinthians by Paul, long after Christ was dead. It was never done away with. It was never nailed to the cross. And so they changed Passover to Easter. Easter is a lie. There is no such thing. It's as much of a lie as the Easter bunny. Jesus Christ was not resurrected on Sunday morning. You know, they try to give credibility to why they worship on Sunday, God's command to keep the seventh-day Sabbath. So man has not kept God's way. Man doesn't like hearing things like this. I'll tell you what, you'll get calls. There are people that fume over things like this. They don't like to be corrected. The Jews hated what Jesus Christ said when he told them that they were wrong about what they were teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So much so, they killed him. And that's the way it is today. They're going to be just as upset, but that's why God is going to allow these things to happen, and he's going to correct religion on the earth.
I'm still a little confused then. Are you saying that everything Jesus Christ said was correct?
Everything Jesus Christ said is correct. But
he is the Son of God.
He is the Son of God, absolutely.
He was resurrected.
He was resurrected, absolutely. But it was 3 days and three... He said, the only proof that I'm going to leave that I am the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, to be king over the earth, is that I'm going to be in the tomb, in the earth, the heart of the earth, for 3 days and three nights.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get 3 days and three nights from a Friday sunset to Sunday morning.
So what day was he resurrected then?
He died. The reason they put him in the tomb when they did, it was on a Wednesday. And on that particular day, that Passover day, when he died, they wanted to get all three off of the crosses right away. That's why they went around and
right.
broke the other two legs,
mm-hmm.
so they would die quickly. So they could get them buried before the holy day. There was a holy day on Friday, or on a sunset, that Wednesday, from sunset to sunset, that's how God tells time for holy days. And at sunset, it was going to be the first day of what's called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It was a Sabbath. It was an annual Sabbath. So they wanted to put it, people think when they read that, it's the weekly Sabbath, and it's not. It's an annual Sabbath. And so then there was all day Thursday, all day Friday, which was a preparation day for the weekly Sabbath, and he was in the tomb then all day Saturday. At the end of the Sabbath, before Sunday, before the dawn, before sunset, he was resurrected exactly 3 days and three nights. And that's the only proof he left he was the Messiah. What people believe in traditional Christianity actually disproves that he was the Messiah. And so, again, all these teachings, the Trinity, it came from the Catholic Church. They're wrong. There is no such thing as a Trinity. There is no Holy Spirit that is a being. It's the power of God. And so people don't like hearing these things because it's so opposite what they've always been taught. Christmas.
That's difficult because there's a lot of reference in Scripture to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
It does not say God the Holy Spirit.
No, it says, though, that Jesus said he had to leave. It was better that he go so that the Holy Spirit could come.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is described as a personality,
a guide,
a counselor.
No, it is. And Jesus Christ is described as the same thing. He's described as a Paracletus as well, the Comforter. It's a matter of power. It's a matter of something that emanates, that proceeds from, that comes mm-hmm. from God and is given to man. It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ said, the Father dwells in me and I dwell in the Father. He was revealing something about the Holy Spirit there in John 14. And he said, I must go away so that you can be sent this Comforter, this Holy Spirit, yourself. Mm-hmm. And he said, now, and that's the most amazing thing in all of Scripture that God ever revealed to mankind, that God has a desire to dwell in human beings through the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to change, to conquer and overcome our nature. We can't do it by ourselves. We have to have help.
And okay, there's a Father and a Son, though.
Absolutely.
So there's two personalities to one God.
In the God
three.
Well, for all eternity, there's only been one eternal Almighty God, and that's God the Father. Jesus Christ had no existence until he was born of the Virgin Mary. That's when his life began. These things are all explained in the book as well. There are a lot of
misunderstandings. Man, you are going against a lot of Christianity.
Absolutely.
I mean, talk about Jesus being the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Exactly.
You know, everything came into being by the Word, and the Word was God, and so on. Well, we could go on all day with
and
that.
And these are all explained in the book. It's very simple, really.
In the end, though, and I don't want you, because we really could go all day getting into all those details.
Yes.
But in the end, isn't it really about freedom from the law? Isn't it about saying, supposedly you are to say, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you are saved.
Whether you
believe all these other details or not is always going to be a subject of debate, but if you believe in Christ, aren't you saved?
No, you're sure not, because you have to know what Christ to believe in. Traditional Christianity believes in a Christ that was dead for a day and a half in the grave. That's not Christ. He was dead for 3 days and three nights. The true Christ has a message.
But if you're saying that you believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I mean, whether you're ignorant of the fact of which day he rose is immaterial.
Oh, it's not immaterial. It's the proof he is the Messiah.
That sounds like a God of law to me.
Well, you know what? You just mentioned here about certain things that basically it's the spin of traditional Christianity, of certain things that people feel they have to, you know, it's the law, this we've been freed from the law. Well, if somebody steals your car, do you feel freed from the law? Are they freed from the law? If someone kills your neighbor, kills your family, is that right? Well, those laws are okay. Those last six commandments about how man...
Well, being freed from the law simply means that you can't... The law was created so that you... To show you sin, to say, look, you cannot possibly live
exactly
after the law.
And so what are you supposed to do with sin? You're supposed to repent. So people aren't
supposed
to steal.
Right.
They're not to bear false witness.
But what you're saying is, you're saying that if I believe, you know, if I'm believing in Jesus as the Son of God, I believe that he is the Messiah. That's not good enough if I don't believe all the other details. Well, that's being under the law.
Well, absolutely, you're to obey the law. You're to repent of sin. That's the message of the Bible. Repent.
Yeah.
Change. So that means if you're keeping Sunday, you're to repent and keep what God commands, the Sabbath. He says, if you want to have a relationship with me, keep the first four commandments and the last six as well of how you treat your fellow man. But one of the commandments is the Sabbath, and that's the one everybody wants to nail to the cross because they want to keep Sunday. They don't want the Sabbath.
Yeah, but see, this is what I mean by details. But Jesus said, look, I sum up all the law and the prophets in this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That sums it all up,
And the Ten Commandments, as he said, are based on the law of love. It's about love. It's love toward God. It's love toward fellow man. The last six commandments are about love, how to love your fellow man.
Mm-hmm.
The first four are about how to love God. People don't want the first four.
Yeah.
About how to love God. They want the last six of how to...
Well, that's the nature of humans, I guess. What about Islam and Judaism? We haven't touched on that yet. Are they just wrong?
Absolutely.
Completely.
Well, Judaism rejected Jesus Christ.
Right. They still believe, though, that a Messiah is coming. They just don't believe Jesus was it.
Yeah, they're going to be surprised when they find...
But they do believe in the true God. The God of Israel.
Well, they talk about the God of the Old Testament, but they don't believe what God said. You know, it's one thing to talk about God and Jesus Christ, and to believe. Believing has to do with believing what they said, not believing. People try to, even Judaism, it's like, you believe in them. I believe in God. Isn't that God? Yes. But do you believe what he said? That is what faith is about. Faith is about what you believe that God reveals to you that's true,
mm-hmm.
of how to live life. People don't want to get into that part of it. They just want to talk about Jesus Christ and about love and so forth. And
but, you know, Muslims, these radical Muslims firmly believe
what
they're doing is right, and they want to kill the infidel.
Absolutely they do.
So, clearly, somebody's got to be wrong there.
All three are wrong.
Right. So what is the way to walk in true faith?
It's love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your being, which means you're going to do what God says. And Jesus Christ summed those things up, and it has to do with the commandments of how to love God. He shows us how to love him. Man doesn't want to do that. He wants to do things his own way. He wants to believe in God his own way, and it's just not that way. You can't change Passover to Easter. You can't have the Mass of Christ
mm-hmm.
and people celebrate it when almost every pastor out here knows that Jesus Christ wasn't born anywhere around December 25th. You know, it's all a fable. It's a lie. Why perpetuate lies? Well, it's okay to acknowledge the birth of Christ in the wrong season of the year and to give presents to each other. No, it's not. You know, and God is not pleased with those things because man is supposed to live a right way of life and a right relationship with God. And that means to honor God, to love God, to be in awe of God, and to obey God. We're not free to do ever how we want to do it. You know, it's like a spoiled child that doesn't want to listen to a parent. I'm going to do my own thing. Sooner or later, we have to pay.
Well, on this issue with you know, everything being about the confrontation of religions, and you know, to kind of get back to that, where you know, all the warring that's going on now, and the terrorism and everything
right.
else. There's been a lot of discussion in you know, faith circles about you know, there's always a counterfeit from the enemy, and yeah. and is Islam the counterfeit religion of the true faith in God? As a way of opposing God and opposing man. Where do you come down on that?
Well, again, you're probably not going to like this, but traditional Christianity is a counterfeit. Judaism is a counterfeit. Islam is a counterfeit. They're all counterfeit. They're not the true thing. They're not the genuine article. And they've deceived man. There's a being. It's called the God of this world. It's Satan. And he's deceived the hearts and minds of human beings through time. You know, there was a mother-child worshipped long before Christ was ever born. And it's in paganism. And those things have been perpetuated by that being because he wants to counterfeit everything that God has. But God's getting ready to put an end to him, to stop him from deceiving mankind. And that's what's happening here. That's the good news. When people talk about the gospel, the good news of the Bible, it's talking about a time when Jesus Christ establishes the kingdom of God on earth. It isn't in the hearts of men. It's on earth. It's a literal kingdom that's going to reign on earth. Jesus Christ, it says in Revelation 20, it's going to be for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
All those who live through this war, the battle that's coming, the destruction that's coming, just like the United States, it's not a pretty sight by any measure. It's horrifying.
Many are going to die, sure.
Over 250 million in this country alone are going to die. That's prophesied. And the devastation is far worse in some parts of the world. India, as an example, is going to be obliterated by the Chinese. There are going to be some nations that aren't going to exist when Jesus Christ returns. But man has done it to himself. That's why technology has been withheld from man for hundreds and hundreds of years until this last 100 or so years here, because man would have destroyed himself long ago. God has a plan to allow man to go a full 6,000 years, and we're at the end of 6,000 years, and that's why these things are going to happen. So 2008... people are going to see it's a momentous time. There's when two witnesses are going to come on the scene. They're going to begin telling these things far more powerfully, and I am one of those individuals.
You are one of the two witnesses.
Yes, in Revelation chapter 11, I'm one of the two witnesses. I've been given a year here to begin forewarning people, to have this book out there, to tell people what's coming. But after 2008, then there's going to be greater power that's going to be given of things that I'm going to be doing and with the other witness, and it's not a pretty sight.
Do you know who the other witness is?
Yes, I do.
Is that person in this country?
Oh, absolutely.
Why do you think they're both in the United States?
Because
I
already know who it is. I already know who it is, but they're not to be revealed until the tribulation.
Yeah. I just think it's interesting that the, you know, the focal point of geography and time and in the end time.
Oh, that's a good
one. So why is?
Oh, that's a good question. That's an excellent question.
Well, so why are both witnesses in the United States?
Well, because people don't realize the importance of the United States being the focal point of all prophecy here at the end time. We are the focal point of prophecy.
The United States is.
Oh, absolutely. We are prophesied.
How so?
It's an awesome story. If you go back in time to the time that God brought Israel out of Egypt, he worked with a nation of people, he gave them his law, his way of life. There was a time, you know, King David, and then there was his son Solomon. After Solomon, the nation divided. 10 nations went to the north, and the other stayed in the south, called Judah. The other in the north became known as Israel. Both were taken into captivity. Judah was taken into captivity last. They went into Babylon for 70 years, and then they got to come back and rebuild on the temple and so forth. But the Assyrians, who are the Germanic people, Germans, they came down and conquered that nation of Israel. The first time you ever see the word Jew in the Bible, it says Israel was at war with the Jews. Well, today, when people look at Israel, they think that's the Jews are all of what Israel was in the Old Testament. Not true. There were 10 other nations. They were taken into Europe, and they migrated through Europe. We are Israelite. This nation is the nation of Manasseh. Great Britain is the nation in prophecy of Ephraim. Western Europe, Canada, the United, Australia, New Zealand. We are the first to fall prophetically. God made us what we are in this nation. He gave us this nation, and we don't even know who we descended from. Judah is only one tribe. What people refer to as the Jews today is only one tribe. Israel in the nation of Israel today, it's only composed of Jewish people. Where are all the other tribes? They became known in the Bible. Peter referred to them in the New Testament as the lost 10 tribes of Israel because they lost their identity.
Mm-hmm.
People didn't know where they went. And it's kind of interesting. The word British, it comes from the Hebrew word covenant people. You know, over and over again, you watch the different things that have happened. It says that you could follow them by their trail. The tribe of Dan would be the mark of where they've been. The Danube River, if you look at words, it's a Denmark, had the letters D and N in the Hebrew, best way to explain it, without the vowel. And the mark of Dan, that's, you know, and different things that have taken place.
Interesting.
There are some incredible stories of things that have happened, and people we don't understand our history.
Well, we could go all day, but I have to ramp things up here. But you can read about it yourself in the book, 2008, God's Final Witness, by my guest, end time prophet Ronald Wineland. Where is the book available?
Yes, they can go to bookstores and pay for it, but I would recommend you just go to the website, www.endtime2008.com, and we send it out free.
All right, Ronald, thank you for spending so much time with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
All right, take care.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Thanks very much. Bye.